Welcome to the Grappling Grappling Rewind Podcast.
Welcome to episode 9 of the Grappling Rewind Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I am Maine.
Joined, as always, by Maine.
Yeah. So, Josh, what are we talking about in this episode?
Stuff, news, upcoming events. You know, yeah, the huge.
There's not a ton to talk about as far as
not yet. This drought's almost over. Almost. One more week.
One more week, we have more events to cover than we could dream of. And we're in gi season now, Josh.
We're always in gi season.
Yeah, where does that come from?
From Worlds? I don't know. From, you know, getting towards the end of the year when ADCC and no gi Worlds and Pans are. Mm. So it's technically no gi season. You know what no gi season is for me? Like 2 weeks before I have a no gi match. That's my no gi season.
Yeah. So in this episode, we're going to talk about some news. We're going to break down the Flow Grappling Awards for 2017. We're going to touch on the Fight to Win Pro Awards for 2017.
Break down, by the way. That's a huge quotations.
Break down. We're going to recap them.
We're going to talk about it.
We have the Euros coming up that we're going to touch a little bit on. We'll go through some of the people who registered for that event, as well as
upcoming things such as UAE Abu Dhabi Grand Slam, the Hatsu Sumo Basho, and Fight to Win Pro 58.
Guard passing into news.
Guard passing into news. God, that was the worst idea we've ever come up with.
You said, what did you say, knee slicing into news?
I don't know. Last time we did it, I was like, God, that sounds
awful.
It's
terrible, but I'm going to run with it.
It's terrible. Anyway, Keenan back at Europeans after an extended absence. 5 years. He was a brown belt. It was 2013. So
it's been a long time since he's been at the Euros.
Again, he's trying to plug away at those points, be the number one ranked black belt.
But he's still kind of a couple spots out.
You start getting those points now. The point stops right before Worlds.
Right, so we have a decent amount of time.
Well,
so you think he's going since his surgery is back? He's going to shoot for it number one this year?
Yeah, that's what he said. So
awesome. Yeah. As well for news this week, we have John Donahue on the Joe Rogan podcast. He said it was going to be Monday, so I assume he said this Monday?
Next Monday.
Okay.
He's going to be on it. It's either going to be super interesting or it's going to bore your brains out because he talks a lot. Not saying that's a bad thing. He just talks a lot. He has a lot of information to share, and that might be boring to some people.
That dude hates punctuation and paragraphing more than any man I've ever met. It's like paragraphs killed his family whenever he posts anything.
Does he paragraph on Facebook?
Never. He never paragraphs. It's all just one block of text.
I don't follow him on Facebook.
I assume that's how he's going to speak for Joe Rogan. Just never pause. Just like kind of like Dwayne Ludwig did. Just never stop until like Joe has to interject and like move topics along.
Yeah, we'll find out. Robert Drysdale got his fourth stripe on his black belt.
Andre Galvao got his third stripe. So big promotions for big people.
Yeah, and going to something quite sad anyway for us on the East Coast or people that personally knew him. Dave Jacobs passed away just yesterday. That would be Saturday the 6th. It was super surprising to me. I randomly found out and it hit me. I've known, not even known, but I've been around Dave since I started jiu-jitsu. I met him my very first tournament in jiu-jitsu a month in. And he's always been super friendly to me. We would always stop and talk. I know tons of my friends in jiu-jitsu that knew him way better were hit even harder than I was. And it's just a huge loss to the jiu-jitsu community in general. He, in my personal experience, he was a great guy. Last time I saw him was at Fight to Win Maryland. And we got to talk right before one of his students went out to compete. So our condolences out to the Jacobs family. And again, a huge loss in the jiu-jitsu community.
So the Flow Grappling 2017 awards were this week. And a lot of matches and a lot of guys that you thought would win. And there were a couple ones that I thought were a little odd. Starting off with, let's move just Black Belt of the Year. Cabrinha wins Black Belt of the Year. That's not a big surprise for me, considering he won every major tournament. He's the only guy to do that. Went all five. Is it five or four, Josh?
Four, technically, is all in the gi, but it happened to be ADCC year, so he won that as well. So, Well, I could see it. I mean, I think there were people that were, that could have been selected as well. You could have used Bushesha. You could have used Erberth. You could have used Leandro Lowe. You could have went with Mikey Musumeci. You know, again, one of the handful of Americans that won Black Belt Worlds.
But they went with him because he did that grand, they called it the Grand Slam.
Well, the four, the Europeans, the Pans, the Brasileiros, and the Worlds is considered the quote-unquote Grand Slam of Jiu-Jitsu. And then he did Abu Dhabi and won that. So I'm not saying, no, he shouldn't be it. I'm fine with this. But it also could have been anyone else. I think it's just, it's all super subjective, and enough people voted in to say this is the guy that I wanted, so I'm not going to argue with it.
Yeah, Flow Grappling Awards are a fan vote. It's just, so it's whoever the fans are. I think it was a little interesting for their show. Although it's a fan vote, the entire show, about an hour and a half event, they never touched on, which makes sense, any match that occurred outside of what Flow Grappling broadcast. They never touched on EBI. They never touched on any of the other organizations or any of the other matches that were not either IBJJF or Fight to Win or Abu Dhabi. They just didn't really touch on anything else super fighty.
Okay. Did they, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but did they show the Gracie Pro and Flow Grappling?
Yeah, they did. They showed it.
Yeah. Okay. And I just looked it up too, and they did. So it's on there. Let's jump backwards. Female Black Belt of the Year. Beatriz Mosquita, be a Mosquita.
What'd you think about that, Josh? I mean, again, these are all fan votes, but we're just going to talk about what we thought, you know, and the kind of our reasoning why each category went to who.
I know Maine feels this way because it's in his notes, and I feel this way. I felt Toledo Alencar, that is, was far more active and dominant across the board. But again, fan vote. So, you know, it's again, it's all subjective. So I'm not going to argue with it.
You have no problem with Beatrice.
I don't have a problem with her. She's a great competitor.
I just thought Alencar was far more active, especially towards the end of the year. She has belts in both Fight to Wins. She has Gi and Nogi at the weight class as well. I think Worlds and Nogi Worlds.
She's just been all over the place, and she's been super consistent. So, whatever, you know, again, fans. I can argue with it all day, but it doesn't matter. It's already done. So, let's go to the next thing, which is the Gi match of the year, which we were looking at. Hadra Gracie versus Marcus Bushesha Almeida. I have absolutely no issue with that whatsoever. Shit was awesome.
That was one of the best. It's just because of the stakes of it, as well as kind of everything around it. And then the match itself lived up to the expectations.
This was a match everybody wanted to see after the first match happened at Metamoris.
Metamoris 4 or 2?
2. No. 1.
Was it the 1?
Yeah, because 2 had the stupid judges' decisions.
Oh, 2 was the weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great
Metamoris. That match was crazy, and people were shitting their pants because it was so close and that it ended.
Yeah, it went to a draw. The first one had been more to a draw because they had the draws back then. And this one,
Bushesha almost caught Hodger, and Hodger got out. Yeah. And everybody's like, what happened if this was this? Well, we got to see what happened when that was that, and Hodger did what Hodger does.
Weird thing. They kept saying on the broadcast for the awards, they kept calling him Roger.
I'm not going to fault it because some people just aren't going to go with the Brazilian enunciation. I mean, if you're going to call him Roger, whatever.
That's not his name though, Josh.
I mean, phonetically it is.
But how the man pronounces it, like, we all do jiu-jitsu.
His last name isn't really Gracie either. He took his mom's name, so
yeah,
he did.
But no one really talks about that anymore. You're that good. You can be great. You can be Gracie.
Whatever.
I'll give it to you.
Roger, Hodger.
It's Hodger. Everyone else is Hodger. It was just funny to hear them repeatedly call him Roger.
I don't think we should harp on anybody saying anything about names when we can't speak.
I mean, you're not wrong, Josh.
So,
I mean, no one's as bad as I am for the name pronunciation. I'm a straight white belt in names. But no, I have no problem with that match. That was, for me, that was the match of the year. So it winning makes perfect sense to me. Moving on to Nogi Match of the Year, we had Zandy for Hibero.
You already went into white belt mode again.
I fixed it.
Shanji.
Every time, Jeff.
Because it's Sanji. Alexandre or Alexandre. I don't fucking know. Shanji. People say Zandy too. Whatever. Shanji Hibero versus Buchecha. I have no qualms with that either.
Yeah, that was another good one. Another one I was happy fans picked it correctly. This is the first time these guys had faced each other. And, you know, made it another historic matchup. And, again, 2017 was a good year for these historic matchups to see guys we've having in different weight classes come together and, you know, have matches against each other. It was a good one.
Yes, indeed. Going to submission of the year in the Gi, somebody we mentioned last week that smacked the shit out of Herbert Santos, literally. Alexandre Vieira and his awesome loop choke at the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam in Tokyo, where he did that like fireman's carry style and then just fucking choked the guy out.
I call that a body bag choke, is what that looks like.
I called it the torture rack because I'm a wrestling nerd, pro wrestling, and that shit looked like the torture rack from Lex Luger, and he choked him unconscious, and that shit
and
was just great.
Dropped him. He's like, he's done, and he flipped him. Like, that was.
And he does that a lot. Again, here comes shout outs, BJJ Scout. Who just did the crucifix study with him. He showed it in there. Like, this video was shared so many times throughout jiu-jitsu when it happened. I mean, shit was wild.
It was crazy.
So
they had some other matches that were a little weird they picked for this category. A couple of the categories for me had odd matches that were up there.
You know what else could have been submission of the year? That fight to win submission where that guy
that was
did
on, that.
That
was on there.
Well,
it was a shoulder lock.
Yeah, but it looked like a
knee bar.
He fucking pretzeled him.
Yeah,
that's
and
what he
Seth
did.
Daniels on the mic during that event called it winner by the dopest fucking knee bar I've ever seen. And you hear it in the break. Seth Daniels yelling it out in the broadcast. And it's not on the commentary, but you can hear him in the arena yelling it. And it was a guy she motioned shoulder lock. But that was awesome to watch.
Yeah, that shit was wild.
And I think that we talk about matches and moments of the year later, but they had a couple that were a little odd, like the Kasai where who is it got choked out at Kasai with the guillotine,
Enrico Coco.
Yeah.
Celso Vinicius,
right,
choked him out.
They had that in there. For me, that wasn't particularly special. It was just like he didn't tap. It was kind of a standard
he just walked him over.
Yeah.
And caught him, and he's really good with guillotines.
Yeah.
It's just cool because
it
might have been fresh in their memories.
As a spectator,
submission
was
of the year, no gi wise, was Gordon Ryan's guillotine on Kenyon Cornelius.
Oh yeah,
it was all right, but there were way better submissions. You could have used Gordon Ryan heel hooking Cyborg. That I think was better than mounted guillotine that Gordon Ryan did to Kenyon. You could have used Craig Jones submitting whoever. How about Craig Jones rear naked choking Leandro Lowe? That's way fucking better.
Well, it's on the list later.
Yeah, but it's still like, I think it puts itself above that. Craig Jones heel hooking the shit out of people all the way through to the finals of
they didn't bring up EBI. At all. They didn't literally mention EBI in the broadcast at all, which I get because it was a Flow Grappling Awards, and I understand it, but it's a Flow Grappling Awards, but it's a fan vote for grapplers that competed
then
on
just
multiple
let people
different stuff.
Just let people vote and for whatever because, you know, oh, we're covering something that we don't give to people. That's kind of bullshit.
It was just weird that they,
you know,
like, they didn't
briefly
really mention
had,
any of these other big matches that happened.
They briefly
at all.
Had Polaris, so you know you're not.
Yeah,
gonna,
where's Polaris? Polaris on Fight Pass now, isn't it?
I think it just is now.
Yeah, it is now.
I think so. But before they had their own little thing, and one of Polaris 3. Was on Flow Grappling.
I think it was 3.
But, you know, cover everything. Include everything. Don't be a dingle.
Yeah, so that was submission of the year. Gordon Ryan versus Kenyon Cornelius.
And again, in the notes, you have Marvin Castell doing that Imanari roll, which got a billion plays.
Which is like, a lot of views, but as far as like as impressive submissions, it wasn't against like a top-level guy, which I think should factor into the submission of the year a little bit for me.
I'm making like a face and big body movement, but you guys can't see this.
Almost like jazz hands. He's got his hands a spray.
I'm doing a giant what the fuck. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, that shit was dope.
It was dope. I'll give it to you. I just don't think it was submission of the year. I think stakes and like when you do it and how you do it and like the grandeur of the event kind of like, I mean, I'm not going to get submission of the year at a local U.S. grappling in an advanced division. It's just not like.
Maybe if that's just wild.
There was some wild submissions that happened. Like look at YouTube this year. Look at that dude with the double arms behind the back or like the worlds. One of the events, one of the women had a double armbar behind the back, like a shoulder lock. Like, there was some wilder submissions. I think they picked submissions that were like big name submissions. And if you're going to base your category that way for voting, like you got to include like the big ones or you have to have a category for flashiest submissions.
And they could have split this shit up too in a submission of the year for males and females. Like, what about that stuff?
Yeah. It was just an odd category for me. I couldn't exactly tell how they picked the nominees. And, like, most of the stuff they picked was from the last couple months of the year. Again, so it was all recent memory stuff, which makes sense for fan voting. But, again, it was just – this is one of the categories that I was
– If you bring it up in the categories, though, and you're like, here's this, have little clippets of it. And
right.
You can go to the beginning of the year and be like, hey, but we're droning on. Biggest shocker of the year, Craig Jones taps Leandro Lowe.
That or Bruchesha, like one of those two is the biggest shocker for me, at least of the year.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I saw that, I remember watching ADCC and like, you've heard Craig Jones before, like, but he wasn't like a known guy. And then ADCC happened and all of a sudden it was like, who is this Australian dude with no shirt that's beating top guys?
Who's this guy that does more no gi than these other dudes that focus in the gi more? I mean... It is what it is.
That was my shocker of the year, though. Again, no problem with that. I agree. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah. Prospect of the year, Kanan Duarte. Maine doesn't – he thinks it's weird because he's more of a higher up, but he hasn't really been out in the public too long to where people would know about him. I think it's a good choice. I mean – You could go into other people, but it might be blue belts. It might be
prospect of the year. I think is a weird one for me because
I think it should be either a guy that's a brown belt that's going to black belt or a fresh black belt.
It's a little weird to pick a purple belt that wins worlds and then gets promoted to brown and starts doing well because it's like, yeah, you just won worlds. Like we can kind of expect that you're gonna do well at a brown belt level. And like,
but this is a prospect. Going into like black belt, they're forecasting this guy's going to be a monster at black belt.
And if that's your criteria, I mean, this is again, they don't really explain what their definition for prospect is, and that's kind of where I had a problem with it. I think Kanan Duarte is a, you know, a great prospect if that's what our criteria for prospect is. It was just they had him against some other people for prospects, and I'm like, well, these people really like they had some different levels of grapplers on this list. And some of them, in my mind, were much more prospecty than Kanan Duarte.
Bigger prospects? Duarte.
Not necessarily bigger prospects, but like prospects at what level? It's like a guy that's going to go immediately win Black Belt Worlds or like a guy that's going to, you know, do really well. And like, I didn't really understand. Jiu-Jitsu was broken up kind of odd to do this, to have a biggest prospect of the year. Because it's like, where have they been? What have they competed under? You know, I think he's fine if that's the criteria. I mean, he had a standout year. He won the Iron Brown Belt event for Copa Podio. He won that.
You're welcome.
So that was good. It was just a weird category.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not going to disagree with that. It is what it is. Here's one that's not going to surprise anybody. Juvenile of the year, Nicky Ryan.
Yeah, this is easy for me.
Let's be real. How many juvenile competitors do you know that you're like, that guy is going to be
How many juvenile special? Competitors do you know if you don't follow specific juvenile competitors?
The Rotolo twins.
Okay, I'll give you that.
But like, and that's only because like, they've been around and people pushed them a whole lot. And, you know, a few of the other people out of AOJ, and that's only because of my friend Rick, who trained with them, that just moved back here a couple of months ago.
You hear about names, but like, Nicky Ryan is on Fight to Wins. He's tapping adults.
In ADCC.
He's an ADCC. He's the youngest ADCC competitor. ever, which he got in a little weird. We kind of glossed over that.
Well, no, his teammate dropped out, and he did place in the trials.
He did.
He was already there. Why not throw him in?
And that's the thing. He was already there, which is the real reason why he got on. He placed high, but that's why he got on. Again, I have no problem with, like, you have a juvenile who is competing against grown men and beating them, and beating them with submissions quickly. I have no problem with Nicky Ryan being labeled juvenile of the year. He's my juvenile of the year. I don't want to compete against that kid.
That sounds really creepy, the way you said that. I just want you to know.
Am I going to edit that out?
No, but it just sounds really creepy.
That cannot be the snippet for this week's episode, Josh.
Masters Black Belt of the Year, Wellington Diaz.
Megaton.
He competes all the time. Since
forever.
He's done every single Worlds.
Since 1996.
Yeah.
Since there was a World Championship, he's been competing at Black Belt.
I'm going to be biased because I know the person that I'm going to mention, but this guy is consistently does Masters, but also jumps in as an adult. You'll see him at adult at Worlds. Daniel Baliza. And I've brought him up before when he had his match against Guy Mendez. And he beat him. And this guy is, Belize is 38, I want to say. Something like that. Probably one of the strongest guys I've rolled with ever for being a light featherweight and can just beat the ever-loving shit out of you. I've been triangled by him, and it's the worst feeling in the world. I'm not downplaying Masters. I'm technically a Master. I'm old enough to be in the Masters division. Masters Black Belt of the Year.
You think they gave it to him because he beat Sperry? I think is really the reason that pushed him over the edge for this category.
Probably. Again, I mean, that's weird. A good win.
It's a great win.
That's
considering he's a featherweight, and then Sperry is not a featherweight.
Sperry's like a heavyweight.
Yeah. Easy. But like, again, the Masters Black Belt of the Year, it's guys that are competing in Masters. There's a bunch of guys, Hanger's over 30, Cobrina's over 30, Tara's over 30. Like, there's a lot of guys that still compete in adult that are of Masters age.
Kyle Tara is 28.
No, he's 30.
What?
Because I got this wrong, and I had to look it up and paste it into the episode like a day after.
What?
Josh, he's 30 or 31. Because I said he was 35 like an idiot on the episode, and I had to cut it in and say I was an idiot on the recording after the fact.
Oh no. He is 31, almost 32. He was born the same year I was born. Okay. Yep. So
you have a lot of guys.
Color me stupid.
You have a lot of guys that are like of the Master's age, but
I thought he was younger.
You give it to Megaton.
Yeah,
like, it's Masters. It's well, there's so many guys.
A lot of those dudes don't do the Masters competitions either.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, no problem. He's 50. Megaton's 50. Like, you're still competing after
you're making that sound
years.
Like that. He's old as shit.
Dude, in jiu-jitsu years, you're like a...
You never know. Look at all the Gracies, man.
Yeah, but they got old bad. I'm also looking at, like, Helio at 92. Because, like, all his, like, recent pictures before he died are, like, when he's super old.
That sounds so disrespectful for some reason. Look at him. He looks old as shit. Looks like a California raisin.
Dude, he was 92 when he passed away. Like all of the pictures they have of Helio and all the gyms are all him at like late 80s.
What, are you just going to have a picture of him with that fucking sweet mustache or him doing a drop kick?
Dude, having the picture with Hickson when Hickson's a blue belt. Like that picture where he looks good still. Or picture him on the beach with his shirt off with the kids doing judo. Like, have a good picture of Helio. Don't have Grandpa Helio at your gym. Like, it's not how you get signups.
I'll tell you this, and I don't think it's true in the least bit. Getting later on in Helio's days, you know, closer to when he passed, all of those guys said that he would still beat them. And I was like, you are a fucking liar. I was like, you're a goddamn liar. Don't tell me your 91-year-old father is beating you up because that's a fucking lie. It's the same thing. And look, don't get me wrong. I love jiu-jitsu. I'm grateful that the Gracies partially started the whole thing. There are other people, different lineages, all sorts of other things like that. But some of the stories that are told about how jiu-jitsu started and how Helio Gracie, this is a giant joke on the internet, invented leverage and all this other shit. Oh, he was 105 pounds and, you know, couldn't control his bowels and would shit his pants
all
the time.
He was an Olympic swimmer. We all kind of gloss over that.
He's like, he couldn't do a pull-up. He couldn't do this. Why is it that there's videos of him like 10 feet in the fucking air doing a dropkick and he's fucking shredded and he's doing all these other things? Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. And don't tell me that jiu-jitsu made him healthy enough to turn into a fucking, you know, like a mini beefcake.
Josh, it was the Gracie diet. The Gracie diet did it, Josh.
Don't.
Look. We're getting way off track. So
yes,
so
we are. That's okay.
For the first time, we typically do not get this off track during these episodes, but it's been a
lot. But
long.
We don't have as much stuff to cover, so we can freestyle it a little bit. Anyway, moving on. Breakthrough Grappler of the Year, Craig Jones. No fucking doubt. I'm screaming in the mic and Maine is freaking out about this. But without a goddamn doubt, you did not know about Craig Jones. And then you did, and it blew your fucking
mind.
Yeah,
you found out at ADCC in
Finland.
Well,
he was on EBI before, but not a lot of people were talking about it.
He looked a good black belt, and he put up a good show.
There were tons of other people in this category that could have also been standout breakthrough grapplers. Shane Hill, Nicholas Mergali, Talita Alencar. But Talita Alencar has been around for a little while, so
like
I don't know.
It's a year, 2 years, yeah.
That's besides the point. Craig Jones, hands down. And again, Shane had that great match with Cobrinha, where, again, I stated I thought he won. Nicholas Mergali, first year at Black Belt, won Worlds. Talita Alencar, just fucking beast mode.
The thing is, like, we knew a thing. Why this category, I think, why Craig gets it hands down is because we kind of knew about all these other grapplers. Craig Jones was this Australian dude that we didn't know who he was.
Good day.
And then he wins He gets to like the semis in ADCC, and you're like, who is this drunk Australian guy?
Why you gotta call him a drunk Australian guy?
Because every time he gets an award for flow, he has a beer in his hand. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying dude likes a beer.
Maybe he was drinking the same beard.
Beard?
Beer. Excuse me.
I think he was, because he was in the exact same place when he accepted both awards for flow. It looks like he cut the videos back to back and they sent it though.
Next is biggest moment of the year. Hodger Gracie retires. Fuck that. Hodger Gracie submits Buchecha. Okay? And how are you going to call anything a bigger moment than another thing? Craig Jones tapping Leandro Lowe was fucking bigger than Hodger Gracie retiring. Hodger Gracie was retired and they were like, hey, we want you to do another match. And he was like, all right.
Like, for money.
Okay.
And like, all right, I'll do it for money. I think what this was weird to me as well, because, like, wasn't he already basically retired? Like, wasn't he retired
wasn't
after Metamorphosis
anymore.
One? Like, I assume if a guy doesn't compete for a year or 2 years, like,
or
regularly.
4 years or whatever.
And he's not injured, like, even if you didn't announce it, like, you're retired. Like, that's what that is in grappling.
He was on a hiatus. That's all. And see, he was on hiatus, and now he's officially retired.
Until he doesn't retire.
I don't know.
Look, I have no problem. It's
whatever,
his
it's fine.
But it was a weird, again, this is a weird category in general for me. And that's all I have to say about it.
Yeah. Takedown of the year. Bianca Basilios drops Aonagi versus Tiani Porfirio at IBJJF Pans. Cool. When a smaller person takes down a bigger person, that's fucking awesome.
It's impressive. And it was a good drop. It was a good drop sale.
Like when Hillary Williams hit a drop sale knocky on Gabby Garcia. And then Gabby Garcia said something and walked off the mat and got DQ'd. But still, that was awesome. Or it's so hard to just keep track of all the fucking takedowns you see. There are awesome takedowns. You know, if you're on Instagram and you follow Ryan Hall, he posted one of his white belts fucking destroying somebody with a double leg. That shit was wild.
That was funny, actually.
That shit was wild. I happened to be there as a referee on a different mat. That shit was wild. You know, but I don't pay attention to takedowns. Like, I'm going to look at every single takedown that happened this year and go, this one is the best takedown. If you want to say, hey, here's this, awesome. I won't disagree with it. Unless it's just some stupid single leg that you run the pipe and you're like, oh, it's the best takedown of the year. It's like, whatever.
Josh, how do you really feel about single legs?
I love single legs. I love single legs. They're great. But if you're just running the pipe on a single leg and you take somebody down, that shit's not cool. There are probably cooler takedowns than that.
I agree. This is a good takedown. I mean, I have no problem with this being takedown of the year. It's just, again, another kind of odd category. Takedown of the year.
Whatever.
So that'll do it for the Flow Grappling Awards for 2017, and that'll also do it for our ability to ever get sponsored by the Gracie Diet.
Look, I don't need no watermelon juicing bag. I don't give a shit about that.
Now on to the Fight to Win Pro Awards for 2017. Let's get right into it.
Male Gi Fighter of the Year, Marcos Torregrossa. He was on a whole shitload of those cards.
Arm bars, baby. Arm bars from the top.
Whatever.
Every finish was just that same arm bar. Good.
I ain't mad at that. I'm not even going to... Whatever. Male Nogi Fighter of the Year, DJ Jackson. Again, he was all over those cards, too.
Yeah, we got to see him compete in Maryland. I got to see him about 10 feet away compete against Gilbert Burns.
And that was almost smell him.
That was a hell of a match.
Actually, look. If you look right there, you can see the table we were sitting at in that picture.
Look at that.
How about that? He was the champion of the middleweight division.
185.
So there you go. Female Fighter of the Year. Gi Fighter of the Year. 100% agree with this. Talita Alencar.
Yeah, I agree. You're the champion at the weight class. The performance she put on at Fight to Win, especially versus Ray Alexander. You know, again, we were at that match. Just stellar performance. Looked great. Close match, but she got it done. She's also the female Nogi Fighter of the Year. Again, you know, the couple weeks after versus Patty Fontes, and you know, beat Patty Fontes, which is again no easy task. Many women at the Worlds this year couldn't do it.
There you go. Male Gi Fight of the Year. Now, if you were smart and knew how to make a website, this would read better. It literally says Male Gi Fight of the Year. It's pretty much saying, like, if you look at it, or if maybe I'm just an idiot, I'm thinking, wait, we just did Male Gi Fighter. I don't know. The Fight of the Year, that's how you organize it. Fight of the Year, Male Gi, Gary Tonin versus AJ Agazar. Fuck yes. You can't disagree with that.
That was a highlight reel match.
He hasn't even trained in the Gi all too much, and then he's like, yeah, I'll take the match.
They
fuck
just
it.
Went, hey, you want to compete in the Gi? We need a Gi picture of you, and he...
Sends a picture of him in a robe. Yeah. In a robe. Genius. And then he beat up AJ Agazar.
He did. I'm surprised AJ didn't tap to that knee bar.
He wouldn't tap just because he's a spiteful little fuck.
Which I respect, honestly. Like, I respect, like, Gary looked at him with that knee bar. I was like, I'll break it. And AJ looked at him like, you're going to have to. He hyperextended his knee, and it's in the Gi, so you can't even see the knee. And even with the Gi pants on, you can see Gary hyperextend his knee, and I'm going, it's gonna break, it's gonna break, it's gonna break, it's gonna break, and it doesn't. And I don't know. That was, again, no problem with Fight to Win Pro. This is
they get to pick them unless it's Flow Grappling saying Flow Grappling. I've had too much coffee. Saying this is what we think your fights were. So I'm hoping they were like, hey, Seth, what's this? And he just ran through it or talked to the rest of the people that help run Fight to Win. Say, what do you guys think?
There were so many good matches this year on Fight to Win.
But this shit was fire.
Oh, it was great. And again, moving on to the Female Gi Fight of the Year.
Talita Alencar versus Array Alexander. That shit was wild, too.
It was amazing. I was like 5 feet away from it. Watching this, like, this is the highest level female black belt match I have ever seen. This is awesome. I can see it live.
I didn't turn my face away from this match, but Maine's girlfriend on multiple occasions was like, we might see a boob because she is not wearing a very good sports bra. I don't know about women's undergarments when it comes to sports, so I'll just go with what she was saying. There were some clothing malfunctions that I was like, ooh, this might not be good. But fortunately, they had a good ref that helped fix all that up as well. That didn't happen. But it doesn't take away from this fucking match. That was amazing. Very back and forth.
Super close. I mean, I think it was a split decision.
Yes.
The end.
Talita started out really well. She slowed down near the end, and that's where Array picked up the pace and like started really putting it on. This is another person that I'm definitely going to be watching to see what she does coming up in Pans and Worlds and whatever. I'm stoked to see what she does.
I think she'll do big things this year. I think 2018 will be a big year for her. I don't think she's been a black belt for too long.
No.
And so
I don't think so anyway.
I believe she got promoted within the last year or 2 years, very recently.
Something to look forward to, folks. Male Nogi Fight of the Year. Gary Tonin versus Justin Rader. Off the top of my head, I want to disagree. I think the Gary Tonin versus Dustin Akbari fight, maybe that was 2016 and it's not technically on there. If it wasn't, I think that fight was way more exciting. Gianni Grippo versus Justin Rader was better than this. Gianni Grippo versus Dustin Akbari, except for that weird ending, was better than this. Bruno Frazzato versus Justin Rader was better than this, even though I believe the outcome of that fight was not good. But I think there were better fights than this. Yeah. It was still a good fight, but I don't think it was the Nogi fight of the year. Personal opinion.
This is one of those that there were so many Nogi matches of the year, at least for Fight to Win. It was weird to pick one. I'm going to agree with Josh. I'm not certain if it was the match of the year for me either. The ones Josh listed, again, it's all really close contention. But they listed Gary Tonin versus Justin Rader at Fight to Win Pro 28 as match of the year.
All right. Female Nogi Fight of the Year. Fiona Margaret versus Bianca Jaeger.
It's Jaeger.
Jaeger? Jaeger?
I think it's Jaeger like the drink, or Jaeger is the name.
How about we're really bad at saying names, so it could be none of those. That was at Fight to Win Pro 53.
Not a bad match for me, but to me, this wasn't my Nogi Fight of the Year. I think Patty Fontes versus Alan Carr was mine. This match was, well, again, it wasn't a bad match. It just wasn't, I thought there were more exciting matches that Fight to Win put on throughout the year than this match. Josh, what are your thoughts?
I'm not going to say yes or no. It was a good match, but there were some other things too. Some of them were ended short. The Christina Barlin, Patty Fontes match, but that was in the gi.
That was in the gi, yeah. That was in the gi. She dissipated her knee.
Yeah. I'll go with it. I'm indifferent.
Moving on to the male Nogi Submission of the Year. Boogie, Richie Martinez, an armbar at Fight to Win Pro 25. Again, I disagree with this. I thought that the dope was fucking knee bar.
Even though it was a shoulder lock.
Even though it was a shoulder lock. Like, does that. Or Marvin Castell. Or, like, Boogie's arm lock, I haven't seen on any other list or any other mention on any list. It wasn't a bad arm lock. It was just, if we're doing all of the matches throughout the year in Nogi for males, I just thought there were some more highlight reel submissions.
Cool. I mean, there were tons of submissions from a whole lot of people. If they're going to give it to him, they're going to give it to him. It is what it is. If they think that's what it is, I'm not going to disagree with that one. Jumping in to the Europeans now after all the award stuff. Shit's going to get wild soon. We started compiling a list earlier in the week of people that weren't in it yet, and now these people are popping up left and right. Something that I saw that interested me was Leandro Lowe is back at medium heavy. Is he cutting down on the weightlifting? Is he not eating as much? Is he not going up more? I don't know, because he was at heavyweight.
Yeah, he was. And he didn't look bad at heavyweight.
No.
Looked strong, looked quick still. So if he's going back down to weight, it'd be interesting to see if this is a permanent move going into 2018.
He just jumped in and he's going to switch divisions when...
Which is possible, because I don't think the division closure time has happened yet.
It's closed, but you have like athlete corrections a couple of days before, so you can still change.
He could still move his division before the brackets are out.
Yeah.
It's still interesting that he registered at that weight, though, because that's not something we've seen him at for a little bit now.
Yeah. Another thing that... you know, caught my eye that I made a bold prediction with was the heavyweight division at Europeans is not very big. There's only seven people.
You got Wardzinski. You have Jackson Souza. You have Keenan. You have
you have some people that you may or may not know, but you know, we're just throwing out some names that we see that pop right out. I made a bold prediction that if Lowe doesn't switch into the heavyweight division, that Keenan will take that division. Keenan, I don't think he's ever lost to Souza. I'm pretty sure he could beat Wardzinski.
I would agree with that.
So I think he takes that. So it'll be interesting to...
He'll get his first European in at Black Belt. Yeah. He does take that.
So that's very interesting. It's kind of light at the heavy as well as super heavy. Same amount of competitors, seven. Urbers is in there. You know, you have some Elliot Kelly and then a few people that I'm not aware of. And these are, again, a few people in Europe. So
you don't see him as I don't see him as much over here. Events. You think Herbert takes it?
Yeah, that's a safe bet. Yeah. That is a safe bet.
Probably. Especially with how he's looked recently.
Yes.
He's been running through guys.
Yes. And then same thing with each of the heavy divisions is all at seven. Heavyweight, super heavyweight, ultra heavyweight, seven. Seven, 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 seven. And moving on to the female divisions, which again are sparsely filled. I can't say that's bad. I mean, there's women in them, but it's not a lot. And I don't. There's got to be more black belts in this.
Especially in Europe. Europe's a pretty big place.
It covers a lot of place, a lot of area. Yes,
a lot of people there.
So I don't know. Tiani Porfirio. You see at super heavyweight, she's got one other person in her division.
Which she probably beats.
She's beaten her before. Vania Luukkonen, I believe they competed against each other before. So
we have Raquel Canuto, we saw a couple weeks ago.
We're jumping a different division, by the way. This is
middle.
Middle. Raquel Canuto. Jessica Flowers at heavyweight. You know,
a lot of names you saw at Worlds recently. A lot of those people. It's the same 10 to 15 women that you frequently see for most of the big IBJJF events.
Yeah.
And they're showing up for the Europeans.
See Aaron Hurl at lightweight competing. Is this her first big competition at Black Belt? I'm trying to think. It's escaping me right now. Either way, she's a pretty solid competitor. So that's one. That division, the lightweight division, and the featherweight division are the most, quote-unquote, densely packed. Lightweights at four and featherweights at five.
At least they don't do what UAE does, which is combine brown and black. At least you have a defined black belt division at the Europeans. But again, this is one of the, I think, the second largest tournament of the year.
Yeah.
Behind Worlds or behind Masters?
Worlds. Yeah. And I don't know. It kind of bums me out. I know there's more females that are black belts that are in these areas. And I want them to, I know some people aren't up there and they might not want to spend money or whatever. A bigger outpouring so we can have more money invested into it. So you're paying them the same amount. So it doesn't seem like it's just a secondhand thing because they happen to be there. It's a legitimate thing. Like, here are these people. Boom. That's all. Oh, there's women here. You know, I don't want it to be treated that way. I want them to be, here's the other athletes. They just happen to be females. I'm going to start to go into a tangent if I keep looking at this. So those are the people that are in the female and male divisions. It'll be very interesting to cover. That's all of next week. There's going to be a lot of posting being done about this. It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Maine's looking forward to it. And I know you're looking forward to it too.
Small point of correction. Europeans is actually 2 weeks from now. Starts on the 15th, I believe.
Yeah. It's the 15th through the 21st. I got really excited that it was happening soon, but
it's always weird that the Europeans is like a 6-day period. It's like so long.
Well, it's the same thing with Worlds. It starts that Wednesday, and you don't really see much of it until Saturday and Sunday.
Right, because there's so many brackets to get through.
Yes.
So that makes sense. So a small point of correction there. And again, we're excited for it.
So what is next week is UAE Grand Slam in Abu Dhabi. Again, the website is worse than the IBJJF website.
Which is saying something.
Yeah, you're just trying to find stuff. It's got people listed. You're not 100% sure if who's in, who's out. You have names. You see your Meow brother, one of them. George Nakamura, Hyago George, you know, Alexander Vieira, people like that. But you're not 100% sure who's who. I mean, I see Igor Souza, Jamie Canuto, people like that. But it's, God, it's awful. It is awful. This is happening when it actually comes out and I can look at brackets and Maine can look at brackets. We could talk about it more, but this website sucks. So
I just wish they'd list all the competitors. Like, you click on black belt and, like, hear the divisions and list them out.
Yeah.
It's just hard. It's hard to read. It's hard to look at. You're looking at just basically a list of names that doesn't tell you a whole lot else about anything.
Yeah. Fight to Win Pro 58, Sacramento, California.
They were just in Sacramento, weren't they? I feel like they just had one
in Sacramento. They were in California. I don't know if it was in Sacramento. We might have just been wrong. Talking shit. I don't know. We're not known to be super intelligent. Main event, Mr. Competition, Wagner Hosha, starting off the year versus Dustin Akbari. This one's going to be really fucking good.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for this match. It is Nogi. I'm really excited for it. This one's going to be fire.
How do you think it goes, Josh? What do you see happening? Do you see Wagner getting a body triangle from the back, or do you see him?
No, I think he's going to judge a decision. I think he's going to try to finish. But the thing is, both of these guys are known to be really aggressive with their wrestling and heavy-handed. A lot of quote unquote slapping, and you know, heavy collar ties and neckties and things like that. A lot of snap downs. This one's going to be interesting. Somebody might get punched because it just gets so heated. You can hear I'm excited.
Look,
about
Wagner's
this.
Been doing combat jiu-jitsu. He just won that event.
He might slap the shit out of somebody.
He might be moving into that slap fight.
But, you know, Akbari's with Team Alpha Male, so you know he's training with those dudes too. So pretty sure he can hold his own.
This one's going to be intense. I'm excited for this 170 too, which I think Wagner was at 55 recently.
He cuts down, but he's all over the place. I don't really care. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. On the co-main event, we have a 165-pound black belt gi match.
Marcos Torregrossa.
2017 Gi Guy of the Year for them, or Fighter of the Year for Fight to Win Pro versus Dom Hoskins.
From Team Santos, BJJ Revolution. Again, this one's going to be a really interesting match. Are you going to try to say armbar? Are you going to call it?
I'm not going to call it, but I'm going
to
call it.
You want to?
I do want to say it. I do want to call it. I think Marcos is going to get an armbar. In the same way he always does. He has a very defined game, and he sets up that armbar the same way every time, and he just runs his game on everyone who's seen him at Fight to Win. You know, Dom is no slouch, but it'll be interesting to see if he can do it. What do you think, Josh?
I don't know. I'm excited that jiu-jitsu in general is coming back. All of these things are just coming back really quickly, and I get to watch more stuff until I get burnt out on it again, and you're like, I don't want to watch any more jiu-jitsu. Stop. But this will be a good one. It also might be the coffee talking that's getting me really, like, zazzled.
Yeah, Josh is way more zazzled, as he put it, than per usual. He's had a larger coffee than he usually comes into the recording with.
Hey, I spent $2 on that coffee. Thanks, 7-Eleven.
$2.19 or $2?
$2.09. That's with tax.
$2.09 at $2.19, okay.
Yeah.
If you go to the city, Josh, then it's $2.19.
Oh, that's why I got that one in the county, bro. 155 black belt gi match. Devin Maxwell from Maxwell BJJ versus Andrew Fonseca from Carlson Gracie. Team Alpha Male. He obviously trains under Dustin Akbari.
I would believe that's probably correct, Josh.
From top to bottom, from what I see right now, one's standing out at me, and I'm going to talk about it in a second. I got distracted. That's the caffeine again. These matches are going to be awesome in general. So It's really exciting to see. 215 black belt gi match. Elliot Kelly versus Jason Butcher. Awesome. Heavyweight black belt gi match. You're going to know these next two names if you listen to jiu-jitsu podcasts. And I have no issue with saying other podcasts' name and being cool about it, because who the fuck are we, honestly? And this one is probably the most jiu-jitsu, most known jiu-jitsu podcast. You have Ernest Mello from Ronin Jiu-Jitsu versus Billy Ray Chubbs. Fucking awesome name, by the way. From Checkmat. Ernest is on the Inside BJJ podcast. If you didn't know that, you're looking at me and you're like, I'm not sure.
Dude, I don't... There's so many podcasts to listen to in preparation to do this podcast that I mess up all of the hosts and I intermingle them all the time.
So Ernest is one of the hosts of that.
That makes sense.
And that leads us to the next one, 185 black belt no-gi match, Sean Cox from Yamaso BJJ versus Tim Freeman, Stockton Jiu-Jitsu. Also, Inside BJJ podcast.
Interesting.
That's the guy that you hear. So,
okay, yep.
Mostly. He likes to talk about being Jewish without being Jewish. I don't know. I haven't listened to their podcast in a while. I listen to very random podcasts. So I listen to mine to make fun of my own voice. That's about it. And then you've got your random pro wrestling ones and I'm going off track. So that'll be a cool match to watch. 205 black belt gi. Bryant. Oh, this is the first one. This is the first one of the new year where it's going to fuck me up. Pangolinan.
Pangelion.
Really?
Josh, I'm just going to go with it.
Hey, Pangelion. Okay, that's fine. From Saber.
We saw his name like a month ago or something like that, and I just went with the wrong name. I'm sticking with Pangelion, Josh.
Okay, cool. Yes, that's right, because I made a terrible Japanese cartoon joke following it. From Saber Jiu-Jitsu versus Jamie Jara. Yes, Jamie Jara El Kakui, the MMA fighter from Carnage BJJ. Awesome. More awesome stuff. 180 black belt gi match. Rich Bethune from Yamaso BJJ versus Louis Moreno from Checkmat. Female.
This is super exciting to me because I know Fight to Win puts on good matchups. Like, that's one thing on their cards. You very rarely see a huge mismatch. They always tend to put guys and women together on matches that have good action. The rule set fosters action. And going on this entire list, like, oh, that's a good match. Oh, that's a good match. Oh, that's a good match. Like, oh, we're still in black belt matches. This card, I think, has 14 black belt matches on it.
Sweet.
Of the 30 matches, 14 are black belts. Like, there is not another super fight organization that puts on that many black belt matches back to back to back to back to back, aside from maybe the ACBJJ 10 card coming up in São Paulo.
Yeah.
That's like, you just don't see, especially like a local event. Like, Fight to Win Pro is, they usually go to an area and they don't typically fly people in. They do occasionally, but
they
most of
their
people are
the
local.
Stuff. Yeah.
And you have 28 black belts competing on this card.
Awesome.
That is crazy.
Crazy. 165, no-gi, female match. Elizabeth Foster from Team Alpha Male versus Sarah Fearon from Guerrilla Jiu-Jitsu. Here we go with the weird numbers, too. 163 black belt no-gi match. Aaron Martinez, Yamaso BJJ, versus Ricky Fort from Saber Jiu-Jitsu.
Rocky?
Did I say Ricky?
You said Ricky.
Rocky.
Rocky Fort.
Okay. 160 black belt gi match. Colo Vida from Half Gracie versus Chad Bingham from Alliance. 165 black belt no-gi match. Marcus Bones from Yamaso BJJ versus...
I was going to say Bonus. I think Bones is correct.
How it's spelled, which cannot be trusted when Maine takes notes, is B-O-N-E-S-S.
I actually copied these. I copied these from the fight list. So okay. If they're wrong, I actually made a couple spelling corrections already. If they're wrong, it's not my fault this time.
Okay, I'm going to go with Bones. That sounds cool. It could be Bonus.
I'm going to go with Bonus.
Okay. Versus James Cotter from FTCC. 185 black belt no-gi match. David Mitchell from Fabio Prada. Team Alpha Male versus Nicholas Green, Half Gracie. 115 black belt no gi match. Tracy Goodall versus Livia Gluchowska from Absolute MMA. Whew, man, and that is all of the black belt matches.
And you move on to purples and
browns, purples, things
and
like some that.
Kid matches at the end. Again, this looks like an amazing card. This is one way to kick off the year right for Fight to Win Pro. They paid out $1 million last year. I have no idea if they have a goal similar to that this year, but I would assume, you know.
Let's go for $1.25 million.
Got aiming high, Josh.
$1,250,000.
Let's do that. With how these events ran last year and how good this product was, like, I could see them doing it.
I'm going to say this one's going to sell out, and this one's going to be fire.
I think they sold out all the California events last year. I think they sold out all of their East Coast events. And I think a couple other events sold out. But I know all of their NorCal events last year sold out every time.
All right. Well, here's looking forward to it. Tons more. Finally, last preview, the January Sumo Basho, the Hatsu Basho, opening Basho in Tokyo at the Ryokuku Kokigan, Koku Gikan. I always screw that one up. Sumo Hall, that is the one that they go to every other Basho. So it's the opening, it's the main Sumo Hall. Then they go to Osaka in the spring, back to Tokyo in the summer, Nagoya in July, and then back again to Tokyo in the fall, and then the Kyushu Basho, which just passed a couple months ago, it is in Fukuoka. So this is the first one of the year. As was previously stated last time we talked about it, there are now 3 Yokozuna: Hakuho, Kakuryu, and Kisen Osato. They're all supposedly going to compete. Harumafuji again, retired.
He
said he retired. But
the Sumo Association, he knew he was going to hit a guy with a karaoke remote or a beer bottle or whatever.
It was a karaoke remote. That is definite.
The final story now?
Yes. Okay. And he was actually fined and all that other stuff, charged with assault, all those other things. So there's only three Yokozuna now. And that's really questionable. There's like one Yokozuna, and that's Hakuho. The other two are questionable. Kakuryu, if he drops out or looks shitty, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. If he looks like shit,
if his sumo is poor,
he looks like shit, they're gonna force him to retire. That's a good forcing of retiring, not this bullshit with the karaoke remote and all this other crap. They'll force him to retire. And then, of course, same thing with Kisen Osato. If he comes in and he's not been a participant since really his first Basho, they might be pushing on that too. And then, again, we're left with one Yokozuna, Hakuho.
Which is not necessarily unheard of. I mean, it's not.
There's been times where there's no Yokozuna.
Right, it's not, you know.
There has to be at least 2 Ozeki. There has to be. But there doesn't have to be Yokozuna. Although, I want there to be Yokozuna.
Yeah, having Yokozuna is fun. It's like having a king.
So one of the standouts from last Basho that moved up, and I think I called that he would come up to Komusubi, is Takakesho. Good on him. He had a great showing last Basho, so hopefully he continues that role. Hokuto Fuji is up at Maegashira 1. Again, another great showing. So he's got it. He's got a rough going of it. He's actually got a busier schedule than Takakesho. So we'll see. Former Ozeki that has dropped. He's had a terrible fall. Tenno Nofuji. He's all the way down at Maegashira 10. He's just. That's all I have to say about that.
That's all you got, Josh? Mm. You think, how do you think his schedule looks this time? You think he'll do
he's
well?
He's a little bit lower, but honestly, I think he should just, as much as he doesn't want to, he should just drop out, get the surgery that he needs on his knee, and if he has to fight up through one or possibly two of the lower divisions to get back, into Mako Uchi.
He's able to do that.
You lose money. Like, yeah. That's a big thing. Like, he loses money, and then you have to fight back and come back, and that's not a guarantee that that's going to happen.
And you're stuck with a basho or two bashos when you're out of Magashira now.
But if he wants to be, as somebody on, you know, Reddit put it, which I think was a great analogy, he looked like a kaiju. He was like a giant monster at one point where he was lifting up other huge guys and just lifting them up and throwing them out of the ring. And he hasn't been doing that because he's been injured. So
is it knee or shoulder, Josh? It's knee?
All of these guys are just really fucked up. Yeah. A lot of these guys are beat up and will not take the time.
But he needs surgery on his knee. I thought, for some reason, I thought it was shoulder.
It's his. I'm pretty sure it's his knee. Okay, it's always knee. Constantly taped. So if it's his shoulder, I don't know why he's not taping his shoulder.
I'm just probably incorrect there.
Yeah. Chinese sumo wrestler. So Kokurai is back again. Up at Maegashira 12. Some newcomers, Abi at Maegashira 14 and Ryuden from Maegashira 16 are making their debuts in the top division. So it'll be cool to see them going. We'll get a little bit more into it next week. I'll give you a little preview of day one. I don't want to bore you to death with one day's worth of matches. The following...
Josh, give us a rundown on how Sumo works.
Sumo works is it's everybody has a match every single day for 15 days. So,
and then you have a month and a half off.
Then you have time off because all of these things start about mid-month, every other month. And you go for 15 days unless you get injured or something else happens.
And that's bound to happen, so we'll touch that. Kind of explain that as...
We'll get into it a little bit. We'll give you briefings. I don't want to, again, go too in-depth into it because the next podcast that we record, we will only have one day's worth of information. The following one will have a good halfway point to see where everybody is, how I can say, oh, this person dropped out, this person dropped out, this person's looking good, this person's in the Yusho race, which means, you know, who's going to win the championship, or, you know, this person's on the road to retirement, so on and so forth.
We'll have more of that information, you know, not next week's podcast, but the podcast following that.
Right, and then the following podcast, we're getting really ahead of ourselves. Will be the final day, and I'll really be able to break down and cover everything and see how everyone did and should where people are going to be during their next rank, so on and so forth. So I'm really looking forward to that. If you're really into sumo, hopefully you're really looking into that. Another thing really quick, Taka Nohana was the guy that brought up the allegations against Haruma Fuji. He was removed from his position, but it is an elected position, so he loses it, but the next election for that is in February, so he could take that position right back. So I don't know how that's really a punishment. He was a dick for going to police and not going to the Sumo Association first. Maybe the Sumo Association still would have forced him to retire, but it wouldn't have been such a big fucking deal. So fuck him. He's a dick for doing that. We'll get more into sumo. I'll be watching it every day. You can catch recaps of it on Kenta Mayama's YouTube page. You can catch recaps of it on Jason's All Sumo page. Or, and I was made aware of this by Kenta Mayama, who has a preview video for the upcoming Basho, you can watch every single match, not just the top division, literally every single match. That's from the lowest of low people just coming into sumo and starting it and wanting to make a run at being a pro. Every single match on Abema TV. ABEMA.TV. You can Google it if I gave you the wrong website, which I didn't. Or at least I don't think I did. Google it and find it. Use Chrome because it has Google Translate. And unless you can read Japanese, then go for it.
I can't, Josh.
I can't either. I haven't found which channel it's on. I will look more into that and let you know when I figure that out, and you'll be able to watch it. Maybe you'll get into it. Maybe you'll go, man, I do not want to watch these guys run into each other.
Also, NHK, North America and Japan also do recaps.
And, they do the daily recaps.
They do broadcasts as well of sumo when the bashes are occurring.
So if you somehow have NHK Japan, cool. You can watch all of that. Or if you have NHK America, you can watch the recap, highlights of it. So that just about wraps it up for this episode. Again, next week, that's when the action starts up again. Fight to Win Pro 58 and the UAE Abu Dhabi Grand Slam. We will be breaking that down. You know, and then we'll get more into previews of Europeans, because that will be coming up a couple days afterwards, talking about sumo, any other news that pops up, any other cool things that we see, all sorts of that fun stuff. So, you know, again, if you have anything cool to share with us, let us know. We will definitely shout you out. Ayrshire Grappler, hopefully I'm saying your name right. BJJ Scout, always coming out with good stuff. Those two, you know, whether it was the Jean-Jacques Machado versus Kao Uno breakdown, BJJ Scout just did a Khabib breakdown, which was awesome. And you know he's going to come out with more studies. If you find something, let us know. We will give you credit for it. If you have a cool company, we'll shout you out. We don't care. You know, we're little guys. We'll help you guys out. So shoot it over to us. You know, I'll tell you Gamble Dub, his gift breakdowns. Those are awesome to find. So if you can find him on SureDog or the Reddit forums, look those things up. If you have something, let us know. We'll let everybody else know. We will shout it out. We don't care who you are. We're not, you know, conceited jerks. We'll talk about your podcast if you have a cool podcast too. We don't care. As always, you can email us at thegrapplingrewind@gmail.com. You can check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, and pretty much anywhere you can find
Facebook
podcasts. We're on Facebook, Grappling Rewind.
Instagram.
Grappling Rewind.
Twitter.
Grappling Rewind.
Reach out to us on social media. If you got something you want us to cover, you want to clarify, you know, we are here.
You want to tell us we're idiots? Hey, let us know.
You want us to pronounce your name correctly?
Let us know. Subscribe. Subscribe on the YouTube page. Leave us a review.
Helps us out a lot.
It helps us out. And, you know, it eventually will help you out. We like to give back. We're doing this as something that isn't done. So help us help you. Again, as always, I'm Josh.
I'm Maine.
And this is the Grappling Rewind Podcast.
We'll see you on the mats.